Yeah? No, oh yes, I can hear me, so you must surely be able to hear me. Okay, I'm going to stand this side so I don't stand in the light and blind myself. Okay, so I'm very happy to say that as of today, it is officially Christmas. Okay, so not that that made any difference to any of us who have been wearing Christmas things for a while now. But it is officially Christmas, it's the first Sunday of Advent. And probably not surprisingly, knowing that I was doing this talk, I've been thinking quite a lot about the Christmas story. It's a wonderful time of year. It's no secret that I love Christmas. And that it has quite a lot of meaning for many different reasons. But it was not just that I would be talking about it that is what I picked to talk about today. So it's also because now we have our own wonderful building. Yay, that's the response we're looking for. But we can big Christmas up in a way that we haven't been able to before because we've been in other people's buildings and that's been fantastic. So I love it. So this year we have been able to do that and it's fantastic. We can see Christmas all around us. We can talk about it. So I think more now for me than before. It is much more meaningful from a church point of view. So because then it was just about like, well, when I was a child, I said, that's what I'm going about. It's more about fun and food and presents. But now as a Christian, there's a much, much more meaningful reason for that. And that reason is, yay, correct answer. If in doubt, just say Jesus, because that's usually a good answer. All right. But for me, one aspect, over the years of the Christmas story has continued to mystify me. And I never really looked into it properly until this time. And that is the story of the Magi, the journey of the Magi, or the wise men, and the Bethlehem star. Fantastic part of Christmas, but in some ways totally separate to the Ranger scene. So, traditionally, I think there's a picture somewhere. Traditionally, depicted on Christmas cards, we would see three wise men. You see the wise men, the Magi, in the major scene, and often that's what we would see on Christmas cards. Sometimes not, but sometimes you are. And I became progressively more puzzled as I learnt more about Christmas. But actually, I'm not sure they should be there. You know, that's kind of not the right place for them. They look resplendent in their colourful robes and their turbans, if that's what they're called. Really majestic and amazing, and it looks a really cosy, well-planned, tidy Christmas scene. Yeah? Probably wasn't like that at all. Wasn't like that at all. But is it a true representation of the facts? So that is what we're going to look at today. We're going to have a little look at whether or not that is actually how it really was. I think we already know the answer to that one, don't we? Does make a lovely scene on a card either way. So, but it is actually, on the other hand, the journey of the wise men or the Magi. It really was. It's filled with excitement and danger and rich history. It is miraculous. So I should say at this point that, a bit of a confession, as a new believer, I was completely naive to the truth about the Christmas scene. I just took it for what it was on a Christmas card. Okay? And for many years, that was how it stayed. I believe that the wise men really were in the stable, along with the shepherds and the sheep and the cattle and Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, shining brightly in his manger. But for this talk, so we're going to talk about the Magi, but for this time they will be interchangeable. I might say Magi, I might say wise men. They are the same, okay? So, to be honest, time's really a bit of a mystery, especially for me, and that's probably mostly because time goes faster than I can, and I seem to be constantly trying to play catch-up, although I do hear that other people are often trying to play catch-up. But we live each day immersed in time. So it's hard to imagine a life outside of it. Now, we were recently in Scotland for a holiday I love Scotland. I think Glenn, you like Scotland? Message just takes me to I like to go to Scotland. It's a favourite holiday destination for probably both of us. It's beautiful. It's mountains and glens and lochs and wild. No, not my glen. Not that glen, right? I didn't see that one coming. Oh, and wild rugged coastlines. It is incredible, and I love it, and it's beautiful. There's lots and lots of peace and quiet. It's just the place to be if you want peace and quiet, okay? So I love it. Can you imagine standing? It might not even be Scotland. It could be anywhere else. It wouldn't be Norfolk, all right? Can you imagine standing surrounded by mountains? And just how amazing you're looking at them, but there aren't that many mountains. Surrounded by mountains. And all you can see, all the way around you, are mountains. It's beautiful, isn't it? But that's all you can see. Okay, we can only see really what is immediately in front of us and kind of not anything beyond. But God can see everything. We know that. He watches over us from beyond the mountains and the hills and the valleys in our lives. The places where we tend to stop and stay a little while when things aren't so good. And we think that's kind of all there is at that time. Well, he sees way beyond that. He sees the past, the present and the future in one long, unbroken, well, line, if you want to put it like that. But as long as we're travelling through this life, we lack his perspective, with one exception. And that is the men and women known as prophets. Now, why would God let them, or even us, see what was to come? Well, it's kind of easy, really. It's because he loves us. It's as simple as that. And actually wants us to know what lies ahead. Sometimes that's for our encouragement. I mean, we had a really amazing word given by Jeff, who came a few weeks ago. Do you remember that word? It was incredible. It was just so encouraging. It talked about us being in a season of favour. It talked about how God was going to bless us and take us forward. And it was just like, you know, this is just the encouragement we needed. And especially, I think, James needed to know that we're on the right track. You know, to know that we're going forward in his path and in his plan. But sometimes he gives us words or prophecies or pictures as a sober warning. You know, perhaps we're close when we're not walking in his plan, something lies ahead, we can't see it. God is so kind, he will tell us about that. He will warn us. So he is a God who walks with us and lives with us and wants that relationship with us. The Old Testament prophets spoke frequently about a coming champion. And what bound them together at that time was their identity as a special people of God, the Israelites. Now, God really cherished them. We know that. We do that in the Bible, don't we? So God's plan was to let the world know his love. And that's a story that continues to this day. It's a story that we are walking in. A story that we are living, a story that we can share with other people. So what we're going to do now is we're going to fast forward through the dying nation of Israel, filled with confusion and doubt. Sounds like it could actually be the world today, doesn't it, really? And it was there that the great age of the Old Testament prophets came. And what was their message? So the message was this, simply, there were lots of them, it is wait, just wait, wait for one more king. This will be the greatest of all kings and he will end our struggle forever. Fantastic message. Looking back, we can see that message and we can see how that unfolded. And we know the story, they didn't. So they didn't have that to fall back on. They didn't have that to hold on to. It's easy for us, we've got the Bible. But we see in those words glimmers of Saviour. There are hints there are specific prophecies about the promised Messiah, and as they call them in the Old Testament, the promised Messiah. In Isaiah 7:14, yeah? No, that's chapter 7, but don't worry about it, we'll move on. It's okay. All right, so that actually talks about the coming Saviour, and it tells us Isaiah prophesies about the coming Saviour. But if we go back now to the wise men, it might be me. Back to the wise men and onwards towards the redemption story. So there are some quite practical and some spiritual points that we can look at. But if I'm honest, little is really known about the wise men and the story. You only hear them once in the Bible, and that's in Matthew 2. Yeah, that would be great. 1 to 12. It's all right, you're doing a fantastic job. So I'm going to read it and hopefully you follow it. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, nasty man, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed. That's another story. And all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them, "Where would the Messiah be born? In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them to the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they, being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by a different route. Brilliant. Okay, so who were these visitors from the east? So what I've learned is quite an incredible story that in my very limited theological knowledge and searching and time restraints here, we can really only touch on. But it is incredible. So there's so much history connected to it all, but there's enough light, I think, on the subject that we can probably, you know, pull out some answers from it. Remembering, of course, that the Jesus birth was surrounded and marked by miracles. Okay? Lots of miracles. Okay, so who were they? Well, likely they were astronomers, so they would have known about stars and planets and comets, etc. They studied them, so they were very learned people, and especially about the skies. So when a new star appeared in the sky, in the eastern sky, they would probably have been very quick to notice it, because it was different to all of the others. This is a bit of a disclaimer, this next bit. So as we're in this area now, it's a bit of a specialist sort of astronomy area. I am not one of those people, so I'm no expert. The information I'm sharing with you now is what I have read and researched online and in books at home, okay? But they would have known the difference between what is a natural event, like seeing the constellations and the comets and the stars. That's what they used to. That would have been their natural event. Things that they were actually really familiar with. So stars are predictable in as much as they rise in the east and set in the west as the earth revolves around the sun or orbits around the sun. And they would have known the difference between that and a supernatural event, because it's very different. It's out of the ordinary. It's unusual. They were used to seeing the ordinary. So this was different. And the Star of Bethlehem is in this category. This star moved. They wouldn't have been used to that in the same way. This star really piqued their interest. So could they have recognized the star as being the one the prophets had spoken of? But how would they know it was special? Well, quite likely, God could have told them. They could have known in their hearts. Does God speak to us? We know in our hearts. God tells us things. So it's quite possibly that he had spoken to them in quite the same way. But the star could have become significant to the Magi because of a prophetic timetable given by the angel Gabriel to Daniel. We'll read about that in chapter 9. Now, we're not going to look at that because it is quite long and in depth, but you can read it for yourselves. But that would have been something they would most certainly have understood and given much attention to. The Magi were a hereditary priesthood among the Medes. And Darius the king, remember Darius and Daniel? Yeah? He was put in charge of them. So it's thought that Daniel, the prophet, first introduced the Magi to the holy scriptures of the God of Israel. And we can read about that in Numbers 24:17, hopefully. Where it says, I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter, which is you associate with royalty, will arise from Israel. He will smash the forehead of the Moab and strike down all the Shephites. Shephites, I don't know. Anyway. So we've heard that the Magi were learned men, and it's believed that they could have studied the scriptures very well, passing down information that they learned from generation to generation. So therefore, that learning and that understanding would have been with the wise men. The significance of the star they had seen, they would have understood that, and therefore they would also possibly have understood the timing of the Messiah's birth. And the sign that would lead them to the place where Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And as they didn't have sat-navs, thankfully, because it probably would have taken them to the wrong place, the stable would have been too specific for them, so it was Bethlehem. Now, while the Bible doesn't explicitly tell us how the Magi could have understood the prophecies, it's really clear, I think, from what we read, that they understood well enough to believe this child was the promised Messiah and that they should follow the star. So perhaps Daniel had opened the scriptures to them. Perhaps through the scriptures and Daniel's testimony, these men came to fear the Lord. We can read in Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the wise men go to Bethlehem. The star stopped over the place where the child was. It wasn't stable, but it was likely a house. Somewhere.